you love him. Now, you are, again, is the readers of his letter, which are the scattered and persecuted Jewish Christians that have been pushed out of Rome and in that general area. And now, because of their spiritual convictions and their followers of Jesus, they've been falsely accused of setting Rome on fire. And bloody Nero has been killing them, stealing their houses, and persecuting them because of Jesus. You love him. Him is Jesus, though you've never seen him. Though you do not even see him now, you trust him. So they love him and they trust him in the midst of this trial and tragedy in their lives. And you rejoice with glorious, inexpressible joy. Does that make sense to you? It's like, I got all these trials and tribulations. I'm suffering. I've lost my house and my job, and I'm a refugee. Praise God! Hallelujah! The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. The salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and the great reward afterward. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is also so wonderful that even the angels, say the word angels, are eagerly watching these things happen. Now, there's so much in this passage, except for that one typo. There's so much in this passage that we try to unwrap. First of all, these people, they loved Jesus, they trusted him, and it wasn't just on their lips, it was in their life and their actions and their reactions to struggles and trials. And they had this unexplainable, unexpressible, glorious joy in them. How many of you would be so glorious about that? I know I humanly wouldn't. But see, there was something about them that's different. Now, it wasn't that God gave them a gift that he hasn't given you. But they watched and saw things happen differently. As they watched what was happening in the world, humanly, they would have been in crisis, and rightfully so, correct? But what was it that allowed them to have this glorious, inexpressible joy in their life? It's not because they saw what was happening to them physically, but they saw this spiritually. Something that I think I've missed out on a lot. In fact, the Bible says in James that consider it pure joy, glorious, inexpressible joy, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. And so they see these things spiritually, not physically. Now, I'm guilty of seeing my problems. I'm guilty of seeing my crises, my struggles physically, right? But there's something different about them. They saw beyond the physical. And then I like this last part. Who has been watching these events of humanity unfold? I mean, Jesus living, dying, Jesus resurrecting, and then giving the church birth and telling them to go and be the light of the world. Just watching all these things unfold. And there are angels watching us. Now, it's just not some Hallmark movie that talks about that or some show touched by a... How do these people survive these crises? Because I tell you what, when I have an emotional, mental, or physical boo-boo, I whine and cry. Lord, please take it away. They're saying, come on, how are you going to work, God? And man, I'm excited for you to do something. So we tried to close that passage last week with, Lord, do I have spiritual vision? Can I see things spiritually too? If these people are experiencing this great joy because of what they spiritually see beyond their physical, can I have that? How can I start improving my vision? How many of you have perfect 20/20 vision? Yeah. So here's what we wanted you to think about this week and pray about. Simple ways to start thinking about having spiritual vision. And if you're a believer, this is something that you can experience. First, stop closing your eyes when difficulty comes. Hear no evil, see no evil. And then we said, allow your eyes to dilate to what's happening in the world, the correct dilation. And then ask God to show you things of the Spirit and read God's Word. And those are things hopefully you've been thinking about, praying about. And as we work on this, as I go through this passage, the Lord told me last week in the most inconvenient time that I cannot continue on with verse 13 yet. And the Spirit of God impressed it on me, or I spiritually saw a pause icon in my life. Imagine if you were to watching the video and Craig would superimpose the pause icon. God, that's what he told me. He says, pause for a second. You're not off to the races to finish 1 Peter by the end of the millennia. Just pause here because I want you to talk about something that is happening in the church, because the church is spiritually, in their vision, anemic. They have spiritual cataracts. And you're not going to be able to survive and process and thrive in these end times unless you begin to take your eyes off the physical and start looking at the spiritual. 70% of how I process life should be spirit driven. And right now, I'm going to confess to you that 90% of my life is physically driven. What I'm experiencing, what I see today, that's why I had to stop watching the news. That's why I had to stop feeding my ears things that are not of God, things that are doom and gloom, things that are fear over faith. I just got to stop that. And so I'm in this transition. Lord, show me. Lord, speak to me. Things of the Spirit. So we're going to take today and tomorrow. Okay, come back tomorrow if you want. And next Sunday, in fact, I got a guest speaker coming in next Sunday to help us understand what it means to start seeing things spiritually and being led by the Holy Spirit in these difficult days. So when we process this, I wanted to start with the first week. I wanted to remind you that there are three basic types of sight. First is what we have is natural sight. That's with our physical eye. Our physical eyes help us to see physical realities. And everybody sees this way. It enables us to see and to touch. You can't touch anything without your eyes working. I'm reminded of the passage. Who can say to the eye, I have no need for you? We have need to be able to function with our natural eyes. But then there's a second type of sight, and that's what we call the mental sight. Now, this is the eye of your mind. It's what connects the intellect and your imagination together. Most people, not all people, they can see this way. In your mind, you see things happening, right? How many have ever dreamed so vividly that you saw everything in your dream? Yeah, you just see it. That's your what we call our mental. You know, how many of you like to do math? You see it in here. When I see math in my head, that's how I calculate, right? When I say 1 + 1, how many saw that in your mental sight? And you saw a line, and what do you see underneath there? So that's how we mentally see, and that is more powerful than we can imagine. Now, there's a third sight. Now, this sight only believers in Jesus has. And this is what we call spiritual sight with an extra R in it. Now, this is the ability to see spiritual realities. Now, right, that phrase could cause half of the church that we know to click off. They don't believe that there's a spiritual realm filled with angels and demons and where God exists. But these are only believers can see. But I think the Lord told me last week that some of us are spiritually sighted and we have impairment. We just can't see clearly the way God wants us to see. And I know some of you say, well, Pastor, that's because of sin, right? Well, yeah, sin is a part of what causes your spiritual sight to diminish. But is there anything else that you could think off the top of your mind, what could cause your spiritual vision to diminish? Anything? not reading God's word. Perfect. Who said that? Amen. You can sleep for the next 2 minutes. What else causes spiritual sight diminishing? Distractions, right? Exactly. What about when we lost our glasses? We lost our spiritual way. How many of you ever didn't know where you put your glasses and you looked all over them for them? And then all of a sudden you realize that they're here. That's one way that we spiritually, our sight begins to diminish. Now, just like natural eyes see the natural realities, there's more than that around us, though. There's a world, there's a spirit world that is beyond the scope of our physical eyes, but it's also a connection with our mental sight as well. And we're going to get into this more and more. Now, just as physical eyes help us see, touch, and feel, spiritual eyes help us see, touch, and feel the things of God, the ways of God. Here's an example. I've already mentioned to you the angels. Right now, there are angels all around you, everywhere around you. There are angels and there are demons all around. Well, if someone says, well, I can't see them. That's right. In your physical mind, in your physical sight, you cannot see those angels. There have been times, though, in recorded scripture when people have been allowed to see angels. And often those are very frightful times for people. Mary. All right. And so right now, there's a spiritual world that I think is more vibrant and more alive and more active than our physical world. But since we're jars of clay and we're so used to seeing things physically, we cannot comprehend things spiritually. How many have ever heard someone had an out-of-body experience? Yeah, you've seen it on TV. I've personally never met any of those people. I have prayed for an out-of-body experience. And what happens is they begin to see things. White is brighter. I don't know how to make white brighter. Colors are more vibrant. And the spiritual world and the physical human world somehow come together. One of my favorite stories is about the story of Elisha. Not Elijah, but his predecessor, Elisha, in 2 Kings 6. See, he was a prophet of God, and the king was evil, and he was chasing after him. And this evil king, the enemy, was every time he would try to make a move, Elisha, the prophet of God, would tell the king of Israel, this is what's going to happen. This is where the enemy is going to be. Go ahead and station your military over there. And every time the evil king would go and set up ready for a battle, there would be God's soldiers. Now, what would be the chances of that? And so again, Elisha, maybe in the middle of the night, the Lord gave him a vision. The Lord gave him thought. Now, tell the king to send the army over here. And again, the day before, the evil king would send out spies and say, hey, the Israelites are over there now. And he thought to himself, there must be a traitor in his camp. And he was going around killing people trying to find who the traitor is until one said, it's the prophet Elisha. So what did the evil king want to do? Kill him. Take him out. Every time they went to go kill him, God gave Elisha a vision. One day, the battle was raging. Elisha was sleeping, and he had his servant. The Bible calls it a servant. His partner was there with him. And then his partner got up early in the morning to do a lot of what other bladders need to do. And he got out of the tent, and he looked, and he saw that the hills were filled with the enemy. Now, that would cause you to be frightened, right, when you saw the enemy camping at your doorstep. And so he immediately went back and said, Elisha, you're not going to believe this, but the enemy is all around us. And what do you think the servant was thinking? We're dead. We're done. And this is what I read. He says, the prophet Elisha says, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed this, and I love this prayer. Open his eyes, Lord, so that he might see. That's it. There's a period. There's no comma. Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And the Lord opened the servant's physical eyes and merged them with the spiritual eyes. And he looked, and he saw that the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire that surrounded the enemy. Now, wouldn't you have loved to have been the servant of Elisha that time? He went from fear to faith in just a matter of a blink of an eye. And then all of a sudden we realized there is a spiritual world. And that spiritual world is more vibrant, more active than you can and I can ever imagine. But you can't see them physically most of the time. Well, how do you begin seeing them spiritually, right? How many of you would like to see things more clearly spiritually? I mean, I want to see my notes clearly, so I put on my glasses because my eyes are diminishing. I used to be very prideful about my good, perfect sight. And then I turned 40. Then I turned 50. And my prescription has become stronger and stronger so I can see, so I can function. But, oh, my heart breaks because we don't do that spiritually. When things get rough, hear no evil, see no evil, I don't want to deal with that. But God says, I need to increase your prescription of spiritual glasses. The eyes are amazing, creation of God. I typically don't quote Darwin, do I? Charles Darwin. But I have this quote, and I want to read it correctly. He said, to suppose that the eye, with all its amazing features, to adjust the focus for depth perception, for admitting the different amounts of light that need to come in and come out, and for the correction of spherical and chromatic abbreviations, it could be formed by natural selection, but that seems, I freely confess, to be absurd in the highest possible degree. Now, this is Darwin. It seems to be absurd that my eyes naturally developed, and I could spend the next week talking with you about the amazing eye that God gave us. And Darwin, he figured it out. There's no way that it just developed out of you tadpole. There's no way. It has to be an intelligent design. Our eyes are like mini cameras. And now cameras are all over the place. Used to be cameras was just for like the Price is Right. All right. You know, you got those big cameras that, you know, the guy sits on with the big red light, you know, and cameras were for news stations. And then the VHS camera came. You remember that one, don't you? They had the big batteries and the big tapes and you would carry that all around. My mom was a professional bowler, and for years she was an instructor, and she invested in the state-of-the-art VHS camera, tripod, player, and a black and white TV. And she would videotape. My mom would stand in the middle of the bowling alley as people would bowl right at her, and she would videotape them. Now talk about preparations becoming a woman of faith. And she would rewind it. Our eyes are just like cameras. And don't you know there are cameras everywhere this morning? How many of you brought your camera this morning? Your phone. How many of you see cameras all around you right now? See, cameras, they're like our pupils in our eyes, letting in more light, less light. Our eyelids work like amazing windshield wipers. Our eyes receive images and communicate the finite details effortlessly to our minds so we can process what we see. And it's amazing. Our eyes take in things and it's upside down. And our mind processes things right side back up. Almost reminds me of an image that we're working with today. But as amazing as our eyes and as complex as they are flawed. They are limited. They're limited because they can only see the things physically around. You can read a book. You can look at your phone. You can watch me prepare and, present this message. Maybe you're online and you're watching a computer. Those are with your physical eyes. But the spiritual realm is just as real and possibly, I believe, more vibrant. But we can only see them with spiritual cameras or spiritual eyes. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6, he says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Did you get that? The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad or evil, your whole body will be filled with darkness. So your eyes are the lamp. It illuminates your life, your body. But if your eye is bad, you live in darkness. And what is that analogy? That is the analogy of sin in our lives. I believe that probably 78% of American adults are either nearsighted or farsighted, and they require corrective lenses. They say that 39% of adults have LASIK eye surgery. LASIK eye surgery is a step beyond these, right? Where they, Doug, if I'm correct, they literally go in and they begin with a laser and just cut out all the stuff. They say senior citizens, and I didn't like this part, 55 and older, they say that 42% of senior citizens have cataract issues. Now, what's a cataract? It's a clouding of the eye. Possible calcium buildups and other irritations build up, and it covers the lens of your eye, and so you see blurry, like you're going through fog all the time. And there's a process that just blows my mind. I just can't believe it. Louise, you had cataract surgery done, and they would literally remove the cataract, and boom, now you could what? See everything. And they got to dilate your eyes and make sure that they're working. And I'm afraid that spiritually we're in the same position. We put God in our physical sight, and God says, I really want you to improve your spiritual sight, and I need you to, number one, open up your eyes. Allow me to dilate the things of the Spirit like Elisha's servant did. And if there's something that is clouding your vision, doubt, ignorance, fear, those are like spiritual cataracts. And there's no room in the believer for a spiritual cataract life. You've got to do something about it. I need LASIK surgery. But I am so scared that I don't want to go. Therefore, I just keep on buying more and more dollar glasses. Why do you buy dollar glasses, Pastor? Because I bought a really nice pair of glasses. I thank the Lord for my insurance company. But after a year, I destroyed them. I keep on putting these on, hoping that they're going to make it. But God says, are you doing that spiritually too? Today, more than ever. More than ever, we need to correct our spiritual eyesight. I wonder if I had a spiritual eye exam, a spiritual sight. I wonder if you could identify the things of God or not. We need that, especially in today's world, because remember last week, how do I know what is trustworthy? How do I know what is truth out there? Everything seems or looks true, but the underlying agenda is false. But the perception is true. In fact, the enemy, he has already put out the script. He's a wolf in appearance as a sheep. So we see the sheep, but actually behind the sheep is the wolf. Physical eyes, physical sight, that's a sheep. Good sheep. Bah, good sheep. But our spiritual eyes will say, no, that is camouflage. Your spiritual sight, your discerning spirit, says no. And how God speaks to me, I'm going to be sharing more about this next week with our guest speaker. When I meet someone where I am spiritually discerning, they become a shade of red or yellow in my mind. Maybe the Lord is using the pause icon. Don't trust what that person is saying. Observe the fruit of their life. Because when you observe the fruit, you'll know where the roots go. And today, more than ever before, like we said, we need to learn to test the spirits. We're going to get more and more into that. These people, they're trying to do what was right, but they were struggling. Judges chapter 21. Anyone read Judges lately? It's a discouraging book about how the people of God walked away from God. Verse 25 of chapter 21 says, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Now, we've misapplied that verse because we think that's all about sinners, evil people, non-God people. No, God's people, they began to do what was right in their own eyes. They didn't say they began to do what was wrong in their eyes, but because they were living in a perspective like, I think this is how I need to live. I think it's okay if I do that. If you don't want to do that, that's okay. But I think I'm going to rewrite the gospel. I'm going to rewrite the Bible, and I'm not going to apply the things that need to be applied to me. You can, but you know what? I like the health, wealth, and prosperity. Forget about repentance. Forget about sanctification. Forget about the Holy Spirit's number one job in your life. I just want the good things of God, and I'm going to enjoy those. And they did what seemed right in their eyes, but it led to their own doom, in my own words. So I believe today there are a lot of faithful who have spiritual cataracts. Psalm 19:8 says, "The precepts of the Lord are right and giving joy. The commandments of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." That today's faithful, you can't trust what you see in the world. It's a deception, the Bible calls it. Falsity. But I'm afraid if you're only looking with your physical eyes, you will be sucked into the lies and the trap as well. Well, no. It's like we used to tell the kids, why are you listening to that music? I'm not listening to the words. I just like the melody. And then you catch them singing the lyrics. Emily, she loves to sing, and sadly, her voice follows my DNA. And I used to always hear her sing worship songs. That's why we love our kids worshiping, right, with us. And then she became this teenager thing. And I would say to her sometimes, I hear her singing a song because in her own world, she's just like, la, 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 la. What's that song? I don't recognize it. Oh, you wouldn't know it, Dad. Do, 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 do. You know, red flags. What do you mean I wouldn't know it? What are you listening to? Sometimes she'll say, what's a country song? No, don't say that. I believe today's faithful people need to be able to see spiritually even more than physically. The word says, for all that is in the world and its desires of the flesh and desires of the eye and the pride of life is not from the Father, but from the ruler of this world. Instead, we need to see things through spiritual eyes. So that's why Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, or in other words, my sight. And where does my help come from? It reminds me of Elisha's servant. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We want people to see things more clearly with Jesus, don't we? Think about your spiritual vision. How many of you said you were farsighted? Which means you know what that means? You can only focus on what's near and dear to you. How many of you are nearsighted? Do I have the opposite? Today's opposite day. So what we do, we got to correct those. God offers you help if your spiritual vision is in diminished or if it's immature. How do you do that? By getting the right prescription. Now what's great about God, just like everything else, God isn't a cookie cutter kind of God. How many fruit of the Spirit are there? 7, 8, 9 of them. The gifts of the Spirit. Everything is unique and different to each and every one of us. And I believe God's plan for you, how you to see spiritually more, how to walk by the Spirit more, is uniquely designed to you. How He has shaped you. And so if you need a prescription, a spiritual prescription, He's got all kinds of methods and ways. And today and next week, we're going to share with you. How many of you noticed my props up here? All right. Now, anyone know where these came from? This is P54. Do you know, 2 years ago, there was this little church that began on a Christmas. I said, you know what? I think I gave my reading glasses to a young gal. Brought tears to her eyes, brought tears to my eyes. And I believe your daughter was sitting about right here. And I said, for Christmas, we need to find some reading glasses. Because this little girl, for the first time in years, could see and could read the Bible that Ruth gave her. And she started crying. I said, how many pairs of reading glasses? I thought, maybe we could, maybe 100 pairs. And what did your little, who was it? Olia. What did she say? 309. Okay, Lord, I'll take that. And you started collecting reading glasses. And I believe we have collected and given out anywhere between probably 1,500 and 2,000 pairs. Thank you. And for the last 3 months, Ruth has been either working or doing other things at Project 54. and I've been giving out reading glasses, and I love it. Oh, I thought the outreach was a great program. Oh, I thought greeting was a great program. But now I help people see Jesus more clearly. Someone said, well, how come you guys are giving away reading glasses? And one of the other volunteers, an adult, I guess I've said it 1,000 times over the last few months. And he said, because they want you to see Jesus more clearly. I love it. And that's really why we do it, amen? And so I'll ask, I mean, I gave out 58 pairs. That was a slow day. Everyone I asked, what's your name? Most of the time I understood. I said, what kind of prescription do you think you need? And a lot of them say, I don't know. So in front of my little table, which is just like this table, I have all of these prescription strengths laid out. And I put a big sign, examples only, because they want to take them. Because, oh, I like that frame. Oh, no, well, you may like the frame, but it's going to cause your eyes to hurt. And I'll go one at a time. And we'll go, try these on. And I've got a Bible. Yesterday, someone stole my Bible. That's awesome. So I yelled over to Vicky. She's at the table booth. I said, Vicky, someone stole the Bible. I need another one. She goes, Spanish or English? It don't matter to me. So I opened up another Bible. And then I would try all these different prescriptions on. All right, Michelle. Let's pretend it's like this. So go ahead and try those on. And I'm going to try these on. Let's see how this works. So, see, what Michelle needs in her, well, crazy, isn't it? Yes. What Michelle needs and what I need are totally different. But God is omniscient. He knows. And when I begin to pass out all of these glasses, try this, try this, try that, and some people are getting impatient, I want my glasses now. Lord, I want my blessing now. I would have, wait your turn. I am taking care of, for example, Michelle right now. And when Michelle found the right prescription, what happens? They light up. I can see! And I literally think they want to do the happy dance at that moment. All right? And I just start clicking. I got one more. And then we go on and on. And so, Christians, have you ever asked the Lord, how can you improve my spiritual sight? Lord, I want to see things more clearly. I want people to see Jesus reflecting through me. But if I'm portraying an obscured vision of you, Lord, I don't want them to see me. I want them to see you through me. Lord, I want to see things spiritually like Elisha's servant saw. And I guarantee you, he's going to put you in the places where you're going to learn what you need to do and what prescription you need to do. But here's the problem. A lot of us are wonderful at praying prayers with no substance. We're just like, you know, it's like Christmas, we have these boxes decorated, but there's nothing in the box. All right? I remember one of our children opened up one of those props, and they were so disappointed because there was nothing in it. And we want all the things of God, but we're not willing to put in the work, the time, and the effort to actually see the things of God. We just want him to give it to us. And that's why I think some of us in church, we have this. Now, these are glasses. How many of you ever had a kid say, I want some glasses, Dad. Why? Because they're cool. They make me look good. They make me look smart. I'm not going to go send you to an optometrist to get your eyes tested and buy a prescription of 0.0 just so you can look cool and smart. We've been buying these glasses. You've been donating these glasses. And, you know, there are some glasses here that are props. There's no prescription. There's no magnification. And I saw that this morning. I'm thinking, how many churches have put out the image that they're truly focused on Jesus? How many Christians say they're believers, or at least on the survey, but really, there's nothing that they can see spiritually going on in their life. And God's talking to them, and it's like you might as well be speaking Russian to you. Wouldn't it be amazing if God's church began to see things the way God sees things? What if a church began to pray, Lord, we want to see things 2020? And I think God says, you know, that's a really cute thing you had a year and a half ago. That's a cute theme for the church. We want to have 2020 vision. And sometimes our cute little prayers, our slogans, our campaigns, I think God says, I'll take you up on that. What happened? We began to see the battles, the evil, the agendas. And I believe 2020 was the year of transition from the season of the church to the season of end times. I don't know how long the transition's going to be in play, but I know the end times are closer. And there is no better time, my friends, for you to start seeing the way God sees things and pray that God gives you the ability. How do you begin to do that? Ways to improve your spiritual sight. What you can do right now. Three things. First of all, spend time in the light. That's God's word. I want to give you a 30-day challenge to read God's word. In fact, it's real easy for you if you want to start October 1st. How many days are in October? So you get a day off. That's the day you forgot. Read God's word for 30 days. It does you no good to have your eyes open if you're walking in the dark, right? Have you ever tried to walk in the dark at night and there's no light? You can't see. You might as well just keep your eyes what? Shut. Because it doesn't do anything. And too many of us are willing to say, I'm going to walk in the darkness, but I need my glasses on. No, it's an oxymoron. Lord, have thine own way. Lord, have thine own way according to how I will dictate to you. Same goes for the spiritual realm. It does no good to ask for the Lord to open up your spiritual eyes when you choose to live in darkness in areas of your life. Where does light come from? And the only way we can see is because of light. Do you understand that? That's the only way we can see because of our exposure to light. Where does light come from? I've got that answer. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message we've heard from him, Jesus, now that we declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. 1 Peter chapter 2. Boy, that'd be a good book to study. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Hallelujah for that. Begin to expose yourself to the light, the word of God, which is what? A lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. There's no way you can ask the Lord to improve your spiritual vision if you choose to keep walking in darkness. That's like just praying that God would bless your McDonald's meal to your body. It's an oxymoron. God says if you want spiritual eyesight to improve, read the word of God, which is the light that'll open it up to you. But we are anemic when it comes to reading the word of God. Expose yourself to light and then ask the Lord to open up your eyes. I like how Elisha prayed. So for the last couple weeks, I've been praying the same prayer, but I've changed the pronoun. Lord, open my eyes so that I may see clearly. Open up my eyes, Lord. I'm not going to be worried about the speck in your eyes. Open my eyes so that I might see the things of God. And I have been seeing the things of God. I'm telling you, for the last 2 weeks, that's been my prayer. I was talking to someone last week on Tuesday. And in the middle of my sentence, as I was talking to this man, the Lord began to give me some vision. Now, I wish the Lord would audibly talk to me, but he doesn't. Maybe I ignored the voice for too long. And now he says, here's an image. Do you spiritually see? When I spiritually have sight, my mental sight comes together. And I'm talking to the guy, and all of a sudden, my brain stopped. No words came out of my mouth. Like last Sunday, I didn't sing a single word during worship. Why? Because my spiritual sight and my mental sight took over my physical. And I'm talking to this guy, and all of a sudden, I said something to him that had to be of the Lord because he did the one eyebrow thing. How did you know? I don't. I'm clueless. I'm ignorant. But God gave me this vision and said, And I had to say this to the man. And he wept a little tear and he said, thank you. Thank you for speaking truth to me. And all I said was, well, you're welcome. I'm a pastor and that's what we do. No, I humbly said, Lord, thank you for allowing your glory to shine through, your light to come through. Ask the Lord to open up your eyes. Take a 30-day challenge to pray that every day. Lord, help me see the things that you see. Help me understand what you understand. When it comes to spiritual eyes, I don't think our problem is that we've decided to close them. I literally think that the vast majority of church-going people are spiritually blind. I really believe that. You know what happens when you live in a cave? After a long time, what happens to your sight? It devolves. It goes away because you're living in darkness. And I believe the church has lived in the world and of the world for too long. And they don't have a problem with that bill that was passed in the House of Representatives. They don't have a problem with that because they've been blinded to what God says. The problem is, it's not that our eyes are closed. I think that some of them have been. Hear no evil, see no evil. But I think we've been spiritually blinded by living in darkness. We don't see that it contradicts God. So for 30 days, ask God, Lord, help me see what you see. Open up my spiritual eyes. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age, who's whom? Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Why? Because they're living in darkness, right? Remember, when you live in darkness, what happens? Your eyes devolve. You can't see anymore. He says, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And if you've ever been spelunking, now that's not something sinful. It's just you're hanging out in a cave and bouncing around rocks to rocks. You get in a cave, and I used to take kids on adventure trips, and we would spend almost all the entire day down in a cave. And then we'd go back outside and literally expose them to the world. And guess what? They couldn't see. Your eyes are so bright or so dilated to the darkness that brightness overwhelms them. And they close their eyes. And I believe a lot of people, when they see the things of God, they can't comprehend it. So they say, I can't see that. God, it's too bright. No, I can't. It's more comfortable to stay in the darkness, isn't it? That's what the Bible says. And a lot of the kids wanted to run back to the cave. No, the case closed. Expose yourself to the light and ask God to help you see the things that he sees. If someone is naturally blind, you don't tell them, well, just open up your eyes. Right? They have to go through surgery, don't they? And if you've been spiritually blind as a pastor, I can't tell you, well, just open up your spiritual eyes. You can't because you're so used to not being able to see things clearly. So you ask the great physician, the great optometrist to help open up the sight and connect it to the mind and connect it to your spiritual world. And when you begin to pray like that, God will help you see the things of the Spirit. And you're going to be confused. You're going to think it was the pizza last night. I'm telling you, it's not. God spoke to me with a pause sign. God gave me an icon. And I know some Greek. You think he'd at least speak Greek or Hebrew to me. But he said, he gave me this pause button. And that's what happens when you begin to open up your eyes. And then I don't know how to process it. That's a clue. If I'm battling, if I'm waging war, I'm trying to process this, I know it's of God. Because after all, I know all the answers. And when I don't know what's going on and I'm dumbfounded, it has to be of God. Isaiah 42:7 says that the God of this age has blinded those people. 30-day challenge. The final 30-day challenge is to exercise your spiritual awareness. Be aware. My mom had knee surgery. Actually, she had two knee surgeries on the same knee. When I went down for the first one, it was amazing. She had knee surgery. They literally saw the bone. Okay, they cut it out. Literally cut it out. And they put on a new shiny knee. And they put it all together. Now, if you had a piece of titanium as a knee, and the night before they did the surgery and they woke you up the next morning, I would say, well, we're bringing you more pain medication. You know what they did to my mom? Get up. The very next morning, she had to get out of bed and start walking on that new knee. And it was painful. And they said, it will get better. And I cannot quote what she said to them this morning. It's the same thing you and I would have said too, probably. There's no way in Arizona that I will be able to walk on my knee. No, you got to do it. And it was hard. It was painful. I cried for her. And then they gave her a rest. They woke her up in the afternoon, said, time to go for a walk. You got to be kidding me. I thought maybe she was going to call her lawyer to start suing them. But what happened, the more she began to walk on that knee, to walk in faith in that knee, the more comfortable it began. And it actually began to take root in her leg. And that's what we need to be willing to do. How does God give you spiritual sight? You allow him to use the situations in your life, no matter how painful they are, and see his hand work through that. You exercise your spiritual awareness. Stop looking at all the fear. Stop looking at all the negativity. Start looking in faith in your spiritual eyes to Jesus. Right. Now, I'm telling you, if I was Elisha's servant and I saw hundreds and thousands of enemies surrounding my camp when I was literally just trying to get some relief in the world, I would have been scared spitless. Elisha, tell your God to smite them. But no. Elisha said, please, Lord, open his eyes. Please, God, open the church's eyes. Stop living in fear of the enemy. Because I'm telling you a secret that God let out. Greater is he that lives in you than he who is encamped in this world. Greater is he that's in you, the author of light. Let there be sight. And there was. Why did he need it? Because there was going to be darkness that was going to try to consume. Light always consumes darkness. I told someone yesterday, all you need to have is 1 watt and you've overcome the darkness. Stop trying to be the spiritual spotlight. All you need to have is 1 watt. Darkness can never overcome the light. And the sight, that's where we need to be. Physical eyes, the more we rely on them, the more we start thinking about what if and what is. Physical eyes, the more we rely on them, the worse condition they become. They diminish. I sit in front of a computer now for how many years? 420 years now. I've been sitting in front of a computer. And because my eyes diminish, but I'm telling you, spiritual eyes, the more you use them, they don't diminish. The more you use your spiritual sight, the more discernment you get. You don't diminish. The more you begin to see things and hopefully begin to increase your focus, that's the goal. When Jesus, remember he opened up Saul's eyes and Saul became Paul? He gave him a new mission, Acts 26. He says, I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from light to dark, from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and peace among those who are sanctified. Paul then prayed later on in Ephesians chapter 1. I pray that the eyes of your heart, your spirit, same word, will be enlightened, or in other words, exposed, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance for the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of power towards those who believe. Lord, open my eyes so I can be enlightened. Remember the age of enlightenment? Lord, I want to be enlightened to you in these end times. So next Sunday, we're going to continue on with this a little bit more. Why is this so important? Why do we need to see things spiritually more clearly? Because I believe we are in a battle. There's a passage that I've been wrestling with for 2 years now out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. But a lot of people don't like me talking about spiritual warfare because they'd rather be blinded to the spiritual realm. I can't. I'm 70% spiritually led right now, hoping to move to 71% soon. This is what he says. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You need to be able to know and see where he is and his schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in where? My friends, you and I can't afford to lose our glasses because we're going to get tripped up. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. But God says, these are the days when I need you to see more clearly. And I don't want my church to struggle. I don't want my church to miss out on what's happening. How about this? Let's start with, Lord, I will take off my sunglasses and be willing to put on my spiritual glasses. Why do we put on our sunglasses? Because the light is too strong. Pastor, will you stop preaching the truth? Pastor, I just want the kumbaya sermons, Pastor. Put on the spiritual sunglasses. Yeah, cool dudes. Come to our church. Those days are over. And God says, no more spiritual sunglasses for you. Be my church and see the things I see. And maybe when you look up to the hills, you won't be scared and fearful anymore. You see the enemies are still there. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. I need your glasses. Wait a minute. Is that true? Wait a minute. Whoa! There's chariots of fire. There's soldiers on horses. And they're all glowing with light. Fire. And they're waiting for the commander to say, get them. And we are just literally waiting for the Lord to come back. Before he comes back, there's a battle. And the church needs to focus on the battle. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up together and pray.